The new Mishnah, one of the longest Mishnayos in the entire Shas. The Mishnah begins as follows. Dinei Mamonos B'Shlosha. The Mishnah is going to go through a whole list of various types of cases, how many Dayanim are needed. So the Mishnah begins. Dinei Mamonos B'Shlosha. A monetary case requires three people. Gzeilos V'Chavalos B'Shlosha. And when it comes to stealing and Chavala, according to Rashi, well, let's look at Rashi, there's so much here, jam-packed here. Rashi says Gzeilos is a case of Kofar B'Pikadom. A person is watching someone's object and he Mishalech Boyad Havigazan. He puts his hand and uses it when he wasn't supposed to. That's called a Gazan L'Fishitas Rashi. And so to the simple case, Rashi says Chotif Miyad Chaver. It's a guy who grabs an object from someone else. That's called a Gazan because it says Vayigzol Esachonis Miyad HaMitzri. Avalove V'lo Shilim. A guy who borrows money and doesn't pay. Lo Mikre Gazan. That's not called a Gazan because the Milvil Hotzah Nitna. Gazan is taking someone's object. A person's watching a pikadon, he used that object. That's the definition of a gazlan. So, gzeilah v'chavalos, and chavalos, Rashi says, a chavu chaver, a guy who hits a person, and he owes the five chamisha dvarim, that's chavala. According to the Ran, chavala is referring to other types of nizikin as well, even niske mamon, even causing a damage to a person's objects. So that's gzeilos v'chavalos. I think Gemara is going to ask a number of bays. Well, once it says dini mamonos, isn't gzeilos v'chavalos, aren't those examples of dini mamonos? So why is it separated into two different categories? So then the Mishnah says, nezek v'chati nezek. Nezek is paying damages. Chati nezek is half the damages, which is a case of sure tam, you only pay half. Tashlumi kefel, v'tashlumi arba v'chamisha, paying double for stealing, paying dal v'hei, v'shlosha. These are also types of monetary cases where it requires three dayanim only. Then the Mishnah says, ha'ones v'amifate v'amotzi shem rabbi shlosha divrei Rabbi Meir. Person who owes a knas in these cases, chamishim shkalim for ones mifata, and the person motzi shemra who says that the wife he just married doesn't have a basulim and he was wrong, he lied about that, he owes a knas as well. That's shlosha because it's all monetary cases. There's a knas that's being paid, divrei Rabbi Meir. Chachamim omrim, the case of motzi shemra is be'esim shlosha b'pnei sheyesh bo dinei nefashos. But let's say the husband was correct in that she was mizana. The case of a motzi shemra is he gets engaged to a girl, assuming she's a basula, and she was a basula. And then he gets married, the nisuin, and there's no dam basulim. He says she was mezana between erusin and nisuin. So now she's chay misa. Take her out to be stuck, to be killed. So it's a dini nefashos.
How do you know it was in between?
You have to bring her. Have to bring right. The fact that she was a basula.
So when he got engaged.
So the assumption was she's a basula. That's the Gemara. Pasuk assumes she's a young girl. She didn't lose her basulim. If she'd lost her basulim, she would have told her mother. There would have been proof that she wasn't a basula. So the engagement was based on her being a basula. So she gets killed. So it's a dinei nefashos. So that's why Chachamim say it's 23. 23 is what's needed for dinei nefashos. The Gemara is going to explain why then Rabbi Meir holds only three. Yeah, there's also dinei mamonos here because if he is incorrect, he owes money. But if he is correct, she gets killed. So then the Gemara says, Makos Bishlosha, that Makos requires three. Mishum Rabbi Yishmael Amru Be'esrim Ushlosha. So the Gemara is going to explain the source of this Machlokas, whether it's 3 or 23. It gets involved in the conversation that Misa, Makos B'Makom Misa Omedes. Makos is a type of death penalty, it's a lesser type of death. So that's a conversation we're going to see in the Gemara later on, whether Makos is 3 or 23. So there's interesting Rambam in Perish Mishnayos here. He writes that based on this idea that Bezdin Kidol gives Malkos, we paskin, you only need three people to give Malkos. So Bezman HaZeh, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Sanhedrin, that Bezman HaZeh, you're allowed to give Malkos so long as you have Smuchin. Smuchin is with a smicha from Moshe to Yeshua and so on. If you have Smuchin, so then you are allowed to give Malkos even Bezman HaZeh, but not Aidei Hedyoto. So there's a famous discussion. Can't exist anymore.
Right.
But there's a story that the Mahari Beirav lived in Tzfat, and there people were doing Isurim that were involved in Kares. And there's a lacha, the Gemara says in Malkos, a person who's Chayv Kares, if they get Malkos, they're going to be exempt from Kares. So he wanted to relieve them from the Kares. So he said, let's create a smicha here. How do you create smicha? So the Rambam in Perash HaMishnayos, he writes that if you have all the Chachamim of Eretz Yisrael together and they agree on smicha, so you could create smicha. So he's tempted to make smicha in order to give malchus to these individuals to exempt them from kari. So there's a big dialogue back and forth between the different rishonim, or rather achronim then, whether or not you could carry this out or not. They ended up not happening and they did not create a smicha at that point and they did not give malchus. But there is a machlok because we've shown him whether or not you are allowed to give malchus bizman shein beis hamikdash kayim, and also in chutzlarts. The Sefer Chinuch writes you're only allowed to give it in Eretz Yisrael with the bezdin samach. That's what his psak. But the Smag writes that you're only allowed to give malchus b'makom sheyesh sanhedrin. You need a sanhedrin, even though malchus is going to be given by three. There still has to be a nucleus of a sanhedrin to exist for the bezdin shel shlosha to work off of. So you need sanhedrin. So smuchin themselves wouldn't be sufficient according to the Smag. And then Ruka Yosef interestingly says at the end of malchus, quoting from Rav Nutrinai Hagon, that Rav Nutrinai had a dream of some sort in Shemayim. That Malchus Deraisa, we don't have the ability to give Malchus Bizman Hazer, we're not able to do this. Why not? Because since Bezdin has to do Neumdina, how much the individual is able to handle, how many Malchus, we don't have a proper Umdina. The fact that there's no Sanhedrin anymore, no Beis HaMikdash anymore, we don't have that ability to assess properly what a person could handle, and for that reason, they're not able to go ahead and give Malchus Bizman Hazer.
The three
do. But the fact that there's no Beis HaMikdash says we lack a certain ability in this world. So even if you have smuchin, you can't make that proper umdina. Okay, before we go weiter in the Gemara here, Tosus asks a question here. Tosus dini mamunus b'shlosha. He says, Acha shashina dini mitlasa bavi, mashmiyuna b'kama danimosa. Okay, fine. We have three different categories of mamunus, and then we say how many people, how many dayanim judge each case. But he asks a question. Huh? If a person, sure, kills a person accidentally, I'm not my responsibility, so then it's my sure that I killed a guy, I owe kofar, I owe the money to the family, the Yerushim. Or if it kills an Eved, so I owe Shloshim Shekel to the owner of the Eved. So why does the Mishnah not mention the case of kofar and Shloshim? So it's non-shar knasos. It mentions other knasos. It mentions kefel, dalvehe. Shloshim She'eved is also a knas. So why do they leave that out? So he says, Yesh mefarshim mishum deshur misaso b'chaf gimel, b'23, u'bizman sheshur b'skila b'aylim mishalman kofar u'shloshim she'evet. When does one pay kofar shloshim? It's when the shur killed a person. So that shur is being killed also. We're going to see in just a bit that the shur gets killed with 23. So that's the same time when the shur gets killed, that's when the owner of the shur has to pay the kofar, pay shloshim. So it's really subsumed in that case when it's talking about the misa of the shore, it's understood that the kofar and shloshim shelevet is also being paid under the watch of the 23. That's what he says. Udilo k'Rebbe Eliezer, the mechayev, he holds that you pay kofar and shloshim even al pi eid echad, al pi habaylim, if the baal admits my shore killed someone, you still have to pay. In that case, the shore would not be killed. The shore only gets killed if there are two eidim who witnessed it. If the baal admits, or there's only one aid, so there would be payment of kofar, but there wouldn't be a death of the shur. So that's a case that there wouldn't be 23. So this mishnah has to go against the shita of Rabbi Eliezer, that you only give kofar in a case where you're killing the shur. That's the only way we could explain this mishnah according to the first understanding. But then Tosus says, Einonir, I don't think this is true, because it's not only Rabbi Eliezer who holds that it's a kofar al pi eid echad. Even Rabbi Kiva agrees that you would pay kofar even when the shor is not being killed himself. So we have a kofar even in the case of three dayanim, not 23 dayanim. So Tosfos answers, near the Rabbeinu Tam, the kofar is shloshim she'eved have bechlal chavalos, which is a chiddush that's included under chavalos. Chavalos is usually a person; it's another person. Not when my shor kills a person. That's a chiddush that's included under the category of chavalos. And then lastly, he says, "Eat nami tanav ashayer." This mishnah, even though it sounds very exhaustive, it wasn't exhaustive. It left some things off the list, and one of the things left off was kofar v'shloshim she'eved. Back to the mishnah now. The mishnah says, "Ibur achodesh." Adding on an extra day, the Gemara is going to explain on a month, a 29-day month, a 30-day month, that's b'shlosh, you need three to accept the Edim. Ibur Shana, when it comes to adding on another month to the year, so that also requires b'shlosh, divrei, Rebbe Meir. But Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Omer, and this how we paskin, b'shlosh, maschilim. The initial conversations with three dayanim, and then chamish and osim and osim, then you bring five people, a total of five people, to have the conversation, to discuss back and forth. And then Gomrim, the psak of the Ibur Shana is b'shiva, you need seven to give the final psak, and that's based on different sources the Gemara is going to discuss. Vim gomru b'shlosha muberes. If, however, b'di'eved, only three people were there when they gave the psak din of the Ibur Shana, that's going to be enough to create an Ibur Shana. Smichas Zakenim. Smichas Zakenim is what Rashi says, if you have to bring a carbon tzibur par helam davar shel tzibur, the carbon, the tzibur did violated something based on a halama, they were given a wrong hara, so you have three people who are doing the smicha on the animal to represent all of Amiso. That's smicha zakenim, varifas egla, that's breaking the egla rufa, bishlosha divrei Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Yehuda omer b'chamishinit 5. Chalitza v'hamiunin bishlosha, ha'archin v'metaltzalin bishlosha. Fine. Rabbi Yehuda omer echad mehen kohen. When you have the erchin, skip. Let's do that again. Again, chalitza v'hamiunim b'shlosha. It comes to chalitza, miunim. A miun is a case where ketana yisoma, she's married off by her mother, brothers, her father's dead, so that she wants to do miun, she wants out of this relationship, so that needs a three-person bezdin. And then, neter revai, maisha sheni, shein damav yudun. You want to be poda, neter revai, the fourth-year fruits, to take it. Normally, fourth-year fruits, you have to take to Yushalayim, but you don't want to shut the fruits, you could be poded onto coins and take the coins to Yushalayim. Same holds true in Ma'aseh Sheni. So if you don't know the value, you need three dayanim to assess the value for the pidyon. That's Bishlosha. Ha'ekdesho is Bishlosha. If you're trying to be poded, Hekdesho requires an assessment of three. Ha'erchin va'metaltlin Bishlosha. When it comes to Erchin, so if it's metaltlin, you have three dayanim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Echam Yam Kohen, so long as one of the three is a Kohen, based on Psukim. HaKarkos, if you're doing karkos, so then you need tish, you need nine people, the kohen plus a kohen, the adam kiyotzi behem, and the adam, most of you're evaluating a adam, you also require 10. Now, if you remember the Tosas Megillah, the Megillah also says this din that you need 10 people for assessing the karka. Now, this is the one exception we have. Normally, we'll see at the end of the Mishnah, ain based in shaku. You cannot have an equal, an even number of dayanim. This is the one example we have that there are actually 10. There's an even number of dayanim on a bezin. So Tosos and Megillah point this out, and I don't remember what he answered. I think he says that you don't require base and shekel.
Because
he did average. That's what it was? I think it may have been when you need a psak, so then, yes or no, then you need an odd number to ensure that they're right. There's a psak. If it's even, you'll have a tie. But just an assessment, you're not looking for a guilty or innocent, you're looking for just an average or something like that. And I think it's one of the answers. But I think it gives a second answer also. But either way, this is the one example we have where there's an even number of dayanim. Then the Mishnah says, V'dinei nefashos be'esem mishlosha. When it comes to capital punishment, you need 23. Ha'roveya va'nirva be'esem mishlosha. A person who's roveya an animal, or an animal that's rather nirva from an animal, from a person, that's esem mishlosha, that requires 23. Shenema, you kill the woman and the animal. V'omer, it says further, v'esa behema tarogu, you kill both of them. So there's a connection of the person to the animal that you require 23. This is talking about a case of a nirva. Then the Mishnah says, Shor haniskal, so on Tosfos is be'esem mishlosha, a shor that needs to be stoned, you need 23 dayanim there. Shenemar v'ashor yisakel v'gam balav yumas. The animal gets stoned, and the person also gets killed. Literally, that's what it means, but he doesn't actually get killed, he pays kofar. Kemises bailim, kach mises ashor. Just the way a person gets killed with 23, so too a shor gets killed as well. There's a fascinating discussion here that whether or not this animal being killed, it's because the animal deserves punishment. There's schar v'onesh when it comes to an animal, or there's simply a gzeres hamelech. The Torah says if this happens, you kill the animal, not because it's schar and onesh when it comes to an animal, but simply that's the gzeres hamelech. So the Ramban writes there is no schar v'onesh the gabi behemos. It's simply the gzeres hamelech is if a shor kills, you kill the shor. But others seem to say that there is. The Kalba writes, fascinatingly, that we see schar v'onesh by an animal, that why does a chay and an oaf get kisoy hadam? When you shech the chay or you shech an oaf, you have to cover the blood. Masha'enkin behema, you don't cover the blood. So he says, because the Medrash tells us that when Rivka fell off to go see, when she saw Yitzchak Avinu, when she met him, so her basulos fell out. And Yitzchak was concerned that maybe Eliezer was Baalel, and he's the one who's responsible for the no damasulim. So the Kobo explains, based in the Medrash, that's what means by Yisapir Ever Yitzchak. He explained to Yitzchak it wasn't him, it was that she came from falling off the animal. And so Eliezer brought Yitzchak to the place where the Basulim were, and they were still on the floor. How were they still on the floor? How come no animal came about and licked up the dam that was there? So the Kobo explained, because they were chayos hasadeh, they were animals, an Ari in particular, that was watching over, that no animal licked the dam, so Yitzchak could see the dam basulim. So because of that, they got a schar, that they're going to cover up the kisui adam of the chaya. That's how he explains why chaya has a zocha to kisui adam. And the Gabri the Oaf, he explains as well, based on the Medrash, that the Oaf taught Cain how to bury Hevel, covering up the blood of Hevel, but that's why it was Ocha, it's a Kisui Adam for an Oaf as well. Similarly, we have also by the Kelev, when it comes to the Kelev of Mitzrayim, that they were embarking when Mitzrayim was leaving, when the Bnei Yisrael were leaving Mitzrayim, they were also Zocha to all the Nevelos. So you see Schar V'Onesh. If Yosef Engel quotes from a Medrash, that seems to be this Machlokas in the Midrashim, where the Schar V'Onesh applies to animals. Okay, fine. Interesting conversation based on this discussion of why one kills a shore. Gemara now says, Vayter, Hazeeva, Ha'ariva, Adova, Namir, Ba'bardilis, all types of wild animals, the Nachash, Misasin, Be'esim, Vishlosha, if they kill a person, so you take them to a bezin of 23 to have them killed as well. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Kala Kodim, Lahar Gan Zach. He says, you don't need a bezin, the sooner the better, kill them, don't wait for take them to bezin, they're dangerous animals. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Misasin, Be'esim, Vishlosha, he argues and says, no, like the Tanakama, it requires 23. Then the Mishnah says further, Ain Danin Loas HaShevet, if the Shevet needs to be judged for a certain case, does Rashi give an example here, if they most of them did Avodah Zarah, so it might be a case of Ir Nedachas, so Ain Danin Loas HaShevet, Loas HaNavi Sheker, a person, a false prophet, Loas HaKohen Gadol, if the Kohen Gadol does something wrong, anything wrong, even a low level Isser, you need a Bezdin Shel Shivim Ve'echad to officiate these types of cases. You also don't go out to war, a voluntary war, unless it's with 71, give you the permission to do so. So Rashi defines for us what's a milchemes rishus. So Rashi, four wide lines down, says, rishus is kol milchama kai rishus. Every war is considered voluntary. Levari milchemes Yeshua, shayisa lechvoshes Eretz Yisrael. The only milchemes mitzvah was Yeshua, benun's 14 years of conquering and dividing the land. I believe the Rambam argues, I think he says Mechemes Mitzvah is much wider than that. I think he says any time you are Kibush Haaretz, even after Yeshua ben Nun, it's considered Mechemes Mitzvah. I have to look back at the Rambam again. But I think he has a different definition. Okay, and it's very, there are a lot of halacha nafka minas between Mechemes Rishus and Mechemes Mitzvah. Just for one example, he quotes in okay, very good. Okay, good. So those are the examples for the Rambam. So there are nafka minas about different halachas of soldiers who's going to fight. So there's a stir in the Mishnayos and Sota whether Kohen is allowed to go to war or not. So one of the explanations is, how do you deal with it? So I think the Gemara itself says this, or maybe the Rishonim say this, that Kohen goes out to Mechemes Mitzvah, but not to Mechemes Rishus. Because really a Kohen, only a person who has Nachla, the Gemara says, could go out to war. So Kohanim don't have a Nachla, so they shouldn't go out to war. So how come the Mishnah says that if a Kohen marries a Grusha, talks about a situation of those people who got married for the first year, Shana Rishona, they don't have to go to war. So one of the examples the Mishnah talks about is a Kohen marrying a Grusha, so whether he goes back since it was an Isser marriage or he doesn't go back, they say, why is a Kohen going to war in the first place? He has no Nachla. I think they explain because to a Mechemes Mitzvah, a Kohen does go out to war. Okay. Gemara now says further, where are we? Ain motin l'mechemes rishus. We did that already. Fine. Ain motzifin al ir v'al azaros. If they want to add on kedusha to the city of Yerushalayim or to the azar, the base of Mikdash, el al pi bezin shel shivim ve'echad. The second parak of Shavuos goes into greater detail of how one is mosif on the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael and the azara and the Yerushalayim. Then the Mishnah says, ain osin v'sanhedrios l'shvatim el al pi bezin shel shivim ve'echad. Each shevet had their own sanhedrin as well. But you can only appoint such a Sanhedrin of a Shevet if it came from the Sanhedrin HaGadol, the 71. Einos in Ir Nedachas, El Alpi Bezin Shel Shem Ve'echad. Einos in Ir Nedachas, Bisafar, Lo Sham. You can't make one, which Rashi says refers to a city that's in between a Jewish city and a non-Jewish city. On the borders, you can't make Ir Nedachas. It's very dangerous for us to get rid of a border city. Velo Shalosh Ava Osnes Achas Oshtaim. Yosef can't make three cities in Nedachas. I don't know if that means at one time or it means over the course of history, but one or two cities one can make in Nedachas. Sanhedrin Gedola Haisa Shoshim V'Yachad. The big Sanhedrin was consisted of 71 people. The Katana Shel Esim V'Shosha. Minayin, how do you know the Gedola She Shoshim V'Yachad? How do you know the large ones made up of 71? Shenemar, it says Es V'Li Shivim Ishim Mizikne Yisrael. Collect for me 70 people. Moshe Gabay, Moshe was on top, he made it 71. Rabbi Yehuda argues and says, Omer Shivim, we don't consider Moshe one of them, we consider the Shivim, and that's it. How do you know the smaller Sanhedrin? Consists of 23 people. Shinemar, the project says, Vishof to Ada, Vitilu Ada, Ada Shafetas, Veda Matelas. One Ada is going to judge him guilty, the Choven, one's going to judge him Zaka, innocent. Hare Kanes, and that's 20. So Minayin Leida, how do you know the word Ada represents Shehi S. Asara? It's 10. That we know, Shinemar Ad Masad Leida Razozia. Until when will this bad Ada continue to fight? And who is the Ada? That was the Meraglim. Yatsu Yeshuva Kalev, who were not part of the Eda Ra, so that leaves 10 Meraglim left. Eda means 10. So Eda, Pazikiv Yitzila Eda, and the Shavto Eda, that's 10 and 10, that's 20. So how do you get to 23? Mnain Lavi Oj Shlosha, where the other three come from? Vimasha Shenemar, Losia Acharabim Laraos, that you shouldn't follow the robe when it comes to bad, to guilty. Shemea Nisha Yamam Latova, that when it comes to Tova, you will follow the robe if won over. So that's understood. It's inferred from the fact that Ra doesn't go based on Rov. That tells us Tov does go based on Rov. So why does the Pasuk have to go out of its way and say, Achar Rabin Lahatos, you follow the Rov? That's understood. So it's extra Pasuk to tell us, Lo Katiyascha Latova, Tiyascha Lara. The tilting towards good is not like the tilting towards bad. What do you mean? Hatiyascha Latova Al Piechad. If there's one person in action favor a Tov, so that we go based on the Rov Latov. When it comes to a guilty verdict, you don't go based on the same level of one over. You need to have apisham. You need to have two that are saying, two on top saying he's guilty. So now that gives us 12 versus 10. Right, 11 to 10 in favor of him, and it's in, that's good. But it's not like Tov. You need to have two. So now it's 12 saying guilty, 10 saying innocent. So that's 22 in total. But the problem is, the ain based in Shaku, we can never have an even number of Dayanim, so Mosif and Alein Orecha, that gives us a total of Harekan, Esim, Vishlosha. So you need 13 to 10 for there to be a guilty verdict, totaling 23 people on the Bezdim.
How could you have 70?
So that the Gemara is going to explain later on of why 70 versus 71. Now, yeah, because the 70 is not based on the 23. It's not based on the Ada, and the calculation.
But it's still Shavuot.
Yeah, so the Gemara itself is going to ask, I think, to Rabbi Yehuda, to later on, how come he doesn't have based in Shavuot for the number of 70. I believe the Gemara does address this.
But if you only need two, if you need minimum two difference, based in Shavuot is also okay.
Right. If you need two...
If you can be mechayev with one, then it makes sense that you need one more. But if you machai with two, you can have this. You can have even number, and still you're okay.
It's true because if you have, you're right. So I guess because you could always have, if it's even, even means innocent, right?
It's a hung jury though, because you have to have one favor to be two.
But one doesn't solve it. Meaning, if you have 11 against 10, we saw just meaning to be guilty, it's not enough. You need minimum two.
And Hami, but you also can't declare him innocent, because you need to have one in favor.
No, but what happens if you have one that's that he says is guilty though? Let's say it becomes 12 and 11 guilty. That also we wouldn't punish him.
Right, 12 and 11 wouldn't punish him.
So anything less than two over, the question they end up talking about, it's a good question. The answer might be as follows: the Rav Zsolti has a discussion when it comes to having Hatar Sadarim Erev Rosh Hashanah. The halacha, the Gemara Nedarim tells us that you're allowed to have brothers on the same Sanhedrin on the Hatar Sadarim you could have at nighttime. We don't have all the halachas. So it gets into the whole conversation of the need for a Basin Shakal, Ain Basin Shakal. Is that because we really want the count to be a verdict? But then you have your question, you don't need an odd number. So he ends up saying that the definition of a Bezdin is an odd number. So that's the definition. Not because to create a verdict, just that's
right,
the definition
just,
of a...
Just as a...
And therefore, even in the case of Hatar Sadarim, where there is no psak, just the people are listening, a guy say, these are my Nadarim, you just need an odd number of people. So that might be the explanation for your question. Gemara now says, the Mishnah concludes off as follows, Kama ye bir v'te ruwe la Sanhedrin. So what size city warrants its own Sanhedrin? Every city had a Sanhedrin. There's discussions in Gemara Makos that there's a Sanhedrin of every Shevet, the Sanhedrin of every Medina, there's a Bezin of every city, Ir v'Ir, Pelach v'Pelach. So what size city warrants its own Bezin? So Gemara says, Me'ev Esim, 120 people. The Gemara is going to explain Daf Yud Zayin Rebez. That's what warrants a Bezin. Rabbi Nechemia Omer, Masai Mushloshim, Keneged Sarei Asaras, 230. Why 230? Because it's 23 times 10 is 230. You have 230 people, so every 10 people in the city have one dayan. That's how Rashi explains it. Because Sarara, look at Rashi, he says, Masai Mishloshim, Dehainu Chav Gimel Asir, that's 23 tens, 230. Shehei Kolechad Mibezdin Din Sar Al Asara. Each dayan has 10 people he's overseeing. The Batzer Miasara Lo Ashkechan Sarara. You don't have Sarara less than 10 people, so that's an interesting way of viewing them. They're actually representing the members of the city.
You just said that they are allowed to be relatives in the 23?
No, that's for Hataras Nadarim. It's a different topic.
So it's very hard to get a city of 120 and get 22 and have relatives.
Oh, that's true also. Practically, how you get that?
It's not so easy,
right? I don't know.
Out of town.
Yeah. Right. Kola,
have a kola.
Right. Fine. Marna asks a question. I mentioned the Mishnah. The Mishnah said Dini Mamanus. Dini Mamanus is Shlosha, and then it's Gzeilus v'Chavalus Rosh Shlosha. Aren't Gzeilus v'Chavalus the same thing as Dini Mamanus? So Amar Rabbi Abahu Mahein Katani. Say no. What are Mahein Dini Mamanus? What are examples of Dini Mamanus? Gzeilus v'Chavalus. Aval Haldos v'Halvalus Lo. When it comes to a person admitting, a person borrowing money or admitting he owes money, that does not require three people. And that we'll see in the Gemara what exactly is different about Hodos v'Havos. The Tricha, and you need to teach me, because the Tanam Dini Mamanus, if it just said Dini Mamanus b'Shlosha, Havamin, I would have thought all types of monetary disputes. Afilo Hodos v'Havos requires the three same Dayanim. So therefore, Tanam Gzeis v'Havos, only those type require the three, but Hodos v'Havos don't require three. The Tanam Gzeis v'Havos, if it just taught me the case of Gzeis v'Havos require and didn't mention Mamanus, I would have thought, even if those cases require three. And why did it only mention Gzeis v'Chavos? Because the source of three Dayanim is mentioned in the context of Gzeis v'Chavos. So that's why that was the example given in the Mishnah. But in a Hanami, Hodos v'Havos would also require Dinei Shlosha. So that's why they mentioned Dinei Mamanus as well, that these are the only types of Dinei Mamanus that require three dayanim, namely gzeilos v'chavalos, to the exclusion of hodos v'halvalos. So Rashi gives a couple of examples what types of hodos we're referring to. Let's just talk about just the regular case of a person admitting that he owes money. So the Gemara then says gzeilos diksiv. It says in the pasuk by gzeila v'nikra bal habayis el ha'olehim. The bal habayis goes to the dayanim. So that's a case. Rashi says the case of a shomer chinam, who he ends up using the object that he shouldn't be using, so he's called a gazlan. So that's in the case of context of gazela. Elohim is referring to dayanim. We learn that it says Elohim three times. We learn dayanim three from gzelos. Chavalos, where's mentioned chavalos? Dayanim by chavalos. The Gemara says mali chava begufo, mali chava b'mamono. What's the difference whether you're being stealing a guy's object or you're stealing the guy's body? It's all the same type of stealing, which itself is fascinating, that they're comparing chavalos and gzeilos to each other, but that's the equation the Gemara makes. So therefore it says, Tana mahin dina mamnus, gzeilos v'chavalos, aval hodos v'halvos lo. So that's the psak of the Gemara. The Gemara says, okay, now we've established hodos v'halvos are not included in this Mishnah, so lamai. With regards to which halacha does our dina havalos v'hodos pater from? Ilema de loba'in and shlosh, if you're going to tell me that havalos v'hodos don't require three dayanim, v'ha'amar Rabbi Abo, shnaim shadanu dine mamos divre kol ein dine amdin. If two dayanim judge a case, that's not called a din. So we see every type of monetary dispute, every type of dispute in the world requires three. So certainly havalos v'hodos require three dayanim. So what halach are we saying havalos v'hodos are excluded from? Ela de loba'in and mumchin. It doesn't require a mumcha. The definition of mumcha, according to Rashi here at least, is a smuchin. Person who's got smicha and is also not l'rishus minasi ladun. He not only has smicha, but he also has permission. He's been granted permission, a certificate to paskin. That's the definition of Rashi. Others say mumchin might be a person who's an expert. He's a baki, he's gummer v'savar, he knows logic, he knows the tradition of halacha. But according to Rashi, mumchin means smuchin. So my kasavar. So now we're saying that you need three dayanim for a hodos v'havos, they just don't need to be smuchin. So what's the basis for this? E kasavar e reparshas kasav kan, with just a simple way of saying that all the psukim and parshim mishpatim in essence are all mixed together, gzeilos, chavalos, havalos, hodos, all of them are mixed together, So then, if we're going to say that way, Kosev Kan, Libai Nami Mumchin. Because the source of three Dayanim, how do we know three Dayanim for anything? It's because Eir Parshas, all the Parshas of Shomer mixed together, so it says Elohim three times, so that's the source of three Dayanim. But also the word Elohim, the fact that we're calling a Dayan Elohim, tells us that it also requires a Mumchin. So it's all the same source. Three Dayanim and Mumchin are come together from Eir Parshas. Either you accept both halachas of three and Mumchin, or you reject it, you don't need either one. So if you say, again, Kisavar Eir Parshas, Kasav Kan, so Libay Nami Mumchin, you require Mumchin even for Odos Vavos. V Kisavar Ein Eir Parshas, Kasav Kan, if you assume that the Parshas are not mixed together, and Hodas Vavos are completely separate, so then, Shlosh Shalomli. So then you don't need three even for Hodas Vavos, even one Dayan should be sufficient. And so the Gemara answers, Liolam, Kisavar Eir Parshas, Kasav Kan. Really, we hold that everything's mixed together, and that's why you require three Dayanim even for Hodas Vavos, and you even require Mumchin for them as well. But, Bidin Hu Dilabayim Nami Mumchin, you really require Mumchin for Hodas Vavos. Bahai Dilabayim Mumchin, Lamai said, why don't we require Mumchin for Hodas Vavos? Mishum de Rabbi Chanina. Dam Rabbi Chanina, Davar Torah, Echadini Mamunis, Vechadini Nefashish, Bedrish Vechakira. The law is all types of cases, whether it's a monetary dispute, whether it's capital punishment, always requires drish v'chakira, which is a way of being bodek the edim to make sure they're telling the correct halacha, the details, the time, all the details. We cross-examine the edim. That applies across the board, all types of edim. Shenamar, it says, mishpat echad yelachem. There's the same mishpat applies across the board, bein mamonis, bein nefashos. Fine. So matam amru dina mamonis lo ba'inan drish v'chakira. So why did they say in the end of the day you don't require drish v'chakira? We don't want to close shut the door. Because if the Malva knows that for me to get my money back from this guy, we gotta go get him Edim and Jujish Vachakira, and maybe the Edim are not gonna pass the cross examination, I'm not gonna get my money back. So I'm not lending any money. So in order to not close the door for those who need to borrow money, we said let's do away with Jujish Vachakira on a Dirabana level. So too, when it came to Din of Halavos, we said let's not require Mumchin. Because if we require Mumchin, that's going to be harder for them to find Dayan Mumchin to ensure that the banks and to get their money back. So therefore, just like we did away with Jush V'chakira for Havos V'Hodos, so too we did away with Mumchin for Havos V'Hodos. Okay, fine.
You can just
Just
one more,
should
you go a little
weiter? It's a whole continuation. This whole sugya continues. Yeah, and no, it's a whole long conversation towards the two dots here. So we could, I think... There's an important Tosos Rashi here, I seem to recall. Now I'm looking at this Tosos here.